As you are well aware, we've been emphasizing the need for prayer throughout this Lenten season. Prayer as a habit of every disciple of Jesus Christ, an essential aspect of our life as Christians. We've been encouraging you all to spend at least 1% of each day in prayer, which is 15 minutes. Now, if you've done that or tried to do that, I'm sure that you have come up with or run into a few difficulties in your life of prayer. So I'd like to address some of those tonight. Just think in your mind what some of those difficulties are for a second. We'll see if we cover them or not. And if not, you send me a message and I'll add them to my list. But the first difficulty is inconsistency. We say we're going to pray every day, and we don't. Or we might struggle. And really, this is the most important thing, that we learn to make this our number one priority. That prayer is like breathing for us. We don't forget to breathe, right? Prayer is like eating for us. We don't forget to eat on a given day. We need to make it an unyielding priority in our life that we're going to share our heart with God in prayer every day. In other words, prayer is not something I do every day. Prayer is an essential part of my identity. It's who I am, a person in relationship with God. It's who I am, a beloved child of the Father. So if you're struggling to make prayer consistent every day, let's make that act of the will to make it an unyielding priority, and then schedule it into your day. Have a specific place set aside for prayer, a specific time each day that you are going to pray. And then after a while, having strengthen that habit. Even if other things come up, you will find a time to pray every day. So that's the first difficulty, is not praying, okay? The second difficulty, I'm sure you all thought of this, distractions, right? You sit down to pray, immediately you think about the laundry, or you think about what's for dinner, or you think about the most random thing. It's very frustrating, as we know. Now, just to make sure that you know this, every single person who prays experiences distraction when they pray. It's not just you, okay? And it's not for those who are new to prayer. It's for everyone. Everyone. The monks who've been praying for hours and hours every day, and the person who sits down for the first time, we all experience this. It's a universal difficulty. It's to be expected. As Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We want to pray. We want to give him our full attention. But we find ourselves unable to do that without interruption. So Peter Kreeft says that the best method of dealing with distractions is no method at all, okay? Because the more we think that we're going to overcome distractions by doing a certain thing or having a certain approach, the more we're actually fixating upon the distractions themselves. Don't let yourself get distracted thinking about how you're distracted, okay? So we just, when we remember, when we become aware that my mind has wandered, just go back. Just return to the Lord in your thoughts. Turn your attention back to Him. That's all. That's all it is. It's like in a conversation when sometimes you get distracted and then you notice that you're distracted and thinking about something else. And then you think about how you're distracted and how you wish you were a better listener. That wasn't the thing to do. Just knock it off and start listening again. Okay? So that's how we approach this difficulty, this common difficulty in prayer. Remember, it's an effort of your will to choose to bring your attention back to God. distractions. Dryness is another common struggle that we face in prayer. In other words, I don't always feel great consolation. I don't feel like God is close. I don't feel like God is rewarding me with the sense of His presence or His grace. It seems like nothing's happening. It seems like a desert sometimes. So when we experience dryness in prayer, and this kind of sometimes happens in seasons, right? It's good for us to step back and try to ascertain the cause. Why am I experiencing this? The cause could be in me, or it could be something willed by God. What do I mean? Well, if I'm stuck in an obstinate sin, you know, I'm not really trying to follow God's way, my dryness might be a way that God's just allowing me to know what the effects of my sin is, the desert that it creates for my soul. He's just showing me what the landscape is, right? And so, in order to come out of that dryness, the Lord's calling me to repentance. Okay? Or if I'm praying, but I'm not really engaging my will, it's just some empty, heartless habit that I have, and I'm, you know, not engaging the will, or I'm approaching prayer like I'm sitting at the slot machines, you know, hoping that if I get the right one, then I'm going to get what I want. God wouldn't want to reward that kind of behavior by giving us consolations. So He withdraws His consolations from us at times. He withdraws them for our sake and for our good, right? He doesn't want us to get addicted to the blinking lights and the ding, 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 like the slot machines, right? That, oh, if we, you know, if we put in, it's gonna kick out, right, some result. He wants us really to come with our hearts. And when we're not doing that, sometimes it withdraws. The cause might also be in God, right? Not that we're doing anything wrong, not that we are lacking something essential to what it means to enter into right relationship and right relationship with God, but rather that God has chosen this for us for a particular reason. God can use seasons of dryness in our spiritual lives to allow us an opportunity to grow in trust. He can give us a desert period, like Jesus went through a desert period, or John the Baptist, in order for us to be purified from our attachments to things of the world, or even really good things like spiritual consolation, rather than being in love with the things that God can give us, the things of God. He even takes those away at times so that we can learn to just love Him alone and not just the good things that He gives us. He does it to teach us how to persevere, which in all of the teachings about prayer from Jesus, that is by far the most common theme that He gives us. So dryness, we want to ascertain the cause. Now some people struggle in prayer because it's for them kind of a form of either brooding or worrying, right? So I come to prayer and I've got these wounds and I just sit there and brood on a past hurt or on the sins in my life, okay? The scriptures talk about this today. Isaiah says, "Remember not the events of the past. See, I am doing something new." And St. Paul said, this is the thing, forgetting what lies ahead. Right? So when we come to pray, we're not there to cling to the past, to brood on it. We're also not there to worry about the future. Do not be anxious about your life, Jesus says. And sometimes when we pray, that's a temptation for us, you know, just to kind of rub the beads down, okay? But what God wants is for us to be present to Him now, not to be in the past, not to be worrying about the future, but to encounter Him here and now. He is alive today. He is with us. That's what prayer is, encountering Him now. Another difficulty is, or temptation is, to kind of experience or see prayer as an escape from the cares and the difficulties of life. It's a temptation because we do feel overwhelmed at times by the cares and difficulties of life. But prayer isn't meant to be a time out from that, so that then we can come back to them, right? Rather, prayer is more deeply engaging life's most profound realities, but in the light of God's grace and the gospel, right? So we can bring all of these things that we're wrestling with to Him. We should. It shouldn't be separate or separated from our real life and the real things we are experiencing. Prayer is not an escape from life. So as you can see, there's meant to be no real separation between our active life and our prayer life, the internal and the external. It's kind of a symbiotic relationship. And many of these problems or difficulties in prayer stem from misunderstanding this point. I want to conclude today with these words from St. Peter Chrysologus that I think really underline this. He says, "There are three things, my brethren, by which faith stands firm, devotion remains constant, and virtue endures. They are," and you'll be familiar with these, "prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Prayer knocks at the door. Fasting obtains, mercy receives. Prayer, mercy, and fasting, these three are one, and they give life to each other. Fasting is the soul of prayer. Almsgiving is the lifeblood of fasting. Let no one try to separate them. They cannot be separated. If you have only one of them, or not altogether, you have nothing. So if you pray, fast. If you fast, show mercy. If you want your petition to be heard, hear the petitions of others. If you do not close your ear to others, you open God's ear to yourself. When you fast, see the fasting of others. If you want God to know that you are hungry, know that another is hungry. If you hope for mercy, show mercy. If you look for kindness, show kindness. If you want to receive, give. If you ask for yourself what you deny to others, your asking is a mockery. Let this be the pattern for all when they practice mercy. Show mercy to others in the same way, with the same generosity, with the same promptness as you want others to show mercy to you. Therefore, let prayer, mercy, and fasting be one single plea to God on our behalf, one speech in our defense, a threefold united prayer in our favor."